Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount South, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August the 12th, 2014, or it's 8-17, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, The Faith of Our Fathers.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy, whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, Yah's great Tosh, when all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from Yah, mankind shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and proceed to as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous love. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Everlasting Kingdom of David, Part 18. We're in Time of Greetings, Volume 2, Number 13. And our subtitle is For Do the Seals and Trumpets Begin and End? Okay, now let's continue where we left off. But we're going to first turn and do a prayer thought taken from Psalms 49. It says, hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of the wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of the understanding. I will incline my ear unto a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give unto Elohim a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever, and see not corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish perish, or the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth unto others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places unto all generations. They call their lands after their own name. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But Elohim will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee. When thou doest well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Psalm 50. For the mighty Elohim, even the Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, Elohim has shined. Our Elohim shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Psalm 50, verse 4. He shall call unto the heavens from above and unto the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by the sacrifice. Now the only way that you can be among the saints is you have to be one of those that he has made a covenant with you, and that covenant is by the sacrifice on your part. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for the Yahweh is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am the Yahweh Elohim, even thy Elohim. Oh, yeah. Yahshua can say, I am that I am. That's in Revelation chapter 1, for one place. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings, to have been continually laid before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto Elohim thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of the trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked Elohim saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? So this is what he was saying to the last servant that betrayed him. The angel of the seven candlestick. He says to him, what hast thou to do to declare my statute? Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Because Willis Johnson was the one that restored the sanctuary's statutes and judgments. The whole sanctuary system that for 2,300 long years has been prophesied that at the end of a 2,300-year period, that the sanctuary would be restored and put back into its rightful order. And that happened 126 years after the Great Advent Movement in 1844. Took another 126 years after the 2,300 years was over with. So add that to 2,300. That'd be 2,400 and 26 years it took to restore the sanctuary once it was prophesied. Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him, and hast been partakers with adultery. Thou gavest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, and thou slanderest of thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such and one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. So who's he talking about here? He's talking about his leader that he's placed over the his candlestick of the sanctuary. That's who Yahshua is talking about. Okay. So it says there in verse 22, "Now consider this, ye that forget Yahweh, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and unto him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of the Yahweh through his son, Yahshua the Messiah." Okay, end of chapter 50. Let's go right on into 51. "Have mercy upon me, O Yahweh, according unto thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Okay, this is what I'm asking this morning. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. I'm asking Yahweh personally for me and my wife, and for my children, and for our people, Jeff White, and all of our people in Africa, and all of Yahweh's people that are preordained, that are at hand to come, that Yahweh's got his hand on through his son Yahshua. I'm praying this for everyone. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Okay. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Okay. That's similar language to Isaiah 1:18. And we might quickly turn to that and read it. It says that, "Come now and let us reason together, said the Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Okay. So it says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O Yahweh, and renew a right spirit within me." This is what I'm praying today for the kingdom's headquarters and our sub-headquarters in Africa, for Jeff White and his leadership. "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." There's that salvation again. Come up there. We just read about that in Psalms 50, verse 23. It says, "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and unto him that ordereth his conversation aright, when I show the salvation of the Yahweh." And again here in Psalm 51, verse 12, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." So now David, see, he said he sinned only against Yahweh. And he's asking Yahweh to remove and pardon his sin and his iniquity. And he says, "Now restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I had that joy before I sinned. When I was anointed by Samuel, David could say, I had that joy. But after I sinned this great sin with Bathsheba and allowed her husband to get killed in the battle to cover up my sin, he says, "Restore unto me." And that's what I'm asking. Restore unto your kingdom, everlasting kingdom of the heaven here on earth, with your set up the way you have it, with your son sitting upon the throne. He's the one that will restore by the Spirit through his servant Elijah David. and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O Yahweh, thy Elohim of my salvation. Hear that word salvation again. Now let's look at this again. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness. And what was that blood guiltiness? He was guilty. He had a guilty conscience about what he did to Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. To deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Elohim, Elohim of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing a lot of thy righteousness. O Yahweh, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. For the sacrifice of the Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O Yahweh, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. That pretty much gives us an insight how we are to obtain unto full righteousness. It has to be restored unto us. And so the only thing that stands between us and that is repentance and forsaking and turn away from all of our sin, and in Yahweh's mercy through His Son will pardon and restore unto us the joy of His salvation. This brings the close of our prayer thought for today. Let's go right on into our main story now about this here seal has been opened up, and we'll take on where we left off from our last study. We're on page, page 8, or page 7, actually. So it says that, this is in Time of Reading, Volume 2, Number 13. So, it says that, now, where does the seventh seal begin? Well, we've established that it began at the end of the Judgment for the Dead, which closed out the first six seals, the first six books that had been investigated and judged. And in 2002, at Kermit, Texas, judgment began at the house of Yahweh, and it started with the ancient men before the house. So it had to start with the angel of the seven candlestick rollers, and which I was a part of that leadership. Myself and his son Daniel and Alan DeLong were a part of that leadership. Now, so he says right here, now where does the seventh seal begin? Begin 2002 at Kermit, Texas. First, let us remember that the sixth seal brought us up until the end of the world. At the beginning of the end, it brought us to the end of the 11th apterbolic hour, and at the start of the 12th in 2002, that's the end of the world. That's 1 hour left for the end of the world. Obviously, therefore, the seventh seal, which covers a number of the subjects, must overlap with the sixth. Let us note that the beginning of the seventh seal disclosed the seven trumpets. The number seven in the scriptures always carries the connotation of the completeness. The seven trumpets therefore carry, as do the seven seals, a complete subject of their own. For the term trumpet is significant of the broadcasting a message. And so the seven trumpets in particular demonstrate the result which the disobedient with the disobedient unto these messages suffered from the beginning unto the end. That the seventh trumpet represents the first or the last message to quickly is quickly seen from the reading of Revelation 11:15. And the seventh trumpet sounded, And there were great voices in the heavens saying, for the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Elohim and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. It says, here we see that the last message on the earth is a message which announces the end of all earthly governments. And so Elijah David has this announcement. Because I have been given the commission to announce this announcement and to make an announced revival reformation that is to take place. And so therefore we are presenting you this subject today. And I guess what we're going to do is make a formal announcement and tape it. And entitled The Last Message on Earth for All Earthly Governments. Well, it says, for the trumpets are in the two divisions. The last three are woe trumpets. The first four are not. That the seven trumpets cover both the Old and the New Testament. Times can easily be seen in a brief study of the fifth trumpet. Revelation 9:1-4, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from the heaven onto the earth, and unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, and neither any green thing, and neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of the Yahweh in their foreheads. Okay, there you have it. So, unto the star which came down from heaven is a applied the masculine pronoun he, unto him the key of the bottomless pit was given. Whom could the star symbolize? Let us turn unto Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from the heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Here we are told that this mighty angel, Satan's enemy, has the key of the bottomless pit. If he has it, then unto him the key must have been given. The star that received the key, therefore, is symbolical of this angel. Moreover, let us notice that as the key opened the bottomless pit, the locusts were released. Finally, the fact that the locusts are enemies unto those who have not the seal of the Yahweh in their foreheads. Then the star, parentheses, the angel, that came from the heaven and opened the pit to release the locusts is a friend unto them and a mighty enemy unto Satan. There is therefore no escaping of this conclusion, that the heavenly star represents a heaven-sent being, the same angel of whom we again read in chapter 20, verse 1, and the locusts are heaven's rescued multitude. Who else then can the star and the locust represent but the Yahshua and the Christians? Alright, back to 2,000 years ago would be the apostles and their converts. Satan has shut up into the bottomless pit the entire Jewish nation. For the only nation that had previously been out of the pit, Yahshua therefore came to open the pit and to let the captives go free. Under such a world was the Yahshua of the heavens sent, and when he came, he immediately declared. Luke 4:18-19. For the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty of them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Yahweh, or the Yahshua. Here you have it in the inspiration's own code of the mysticism, freshly unveiled, that Yahshua Messiah is indeed a heaven-sent being, the Savior of the world. Now the plain fact that the apostolic era began with the sounding of the fifth trumpet, for the truth of the first four trumpets must be sought in the Old Testament era. Okay. Here we have now seen the nature and time where the seven seals and the seven trumpets began and end. And those who want to know the subjects in all their details can do so by the studying of the tracts, The Final Warning, and the breaking of the seals, which will be mailed free upon a request. And in our case, we publish it and put it on the airwaves, on the internet. That brings the end of the Time of Reading, Volume 2, Number 13. We're going to continue right on now with Time of Reading, Volume 2, Number 14. And the prayer thought for that one would be, the title for that one would be the chronological sitting of the Revelation chapter by chapter with the summary. And then the prayer thought for that would be 49, page 49 of Christ's Object Lesson. If we love Yahshua, we shall love to live for Him, to present our thank offerings unto Him, or to labor for Him. For the very labor will be light, for His sake we shall covet pain and toil and sacrifice. We shall sympathize with His longing for the salvation of men. We shall feel the same tender craving for the soul that He has felt. This is the religion of Yahshua. Anything short of it is a deception. No mere theory of the truth or profession of the disciplineship will save any soul. We do not belong unto Yahshua unless we are His holy. It is by the half-heartedness in the Christian life that men become feeble in the purpose and changeable in the desire. For the effort to serve both self and Yahshua makes one a stony ground here, and he will not endure when the test comes upon him. We shall now kneel and pray that we may not forget that anything short of a sacrifice for the souls is not the religion of Yahshua. That if we are half-hearted in our duties, we shall become more and more unstable. That wholehearted religion and wholehearted deeds can be the only evidence that the blood of Yahshua has done its work in us, and the only thing to ensure our right to the holy city. Perfect statement is evidence that the blood of the Yahshua has done its work on us, and the only thing to ensure our right unto the holy city. Folks, wake up. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant that's been our main theme for quite a while now. Okay, end of that prayer thought. We're going to go right on in now to time of reading, volume 2, number 14, the chronological sitting of the Revelation, chapter by chapter. Text of address was at the house November the 8th, 1947. And it says, our past studies have shown that all the books of the Bible meet and end in the Revelation. And it says that for the Revelation covers the entire history of the mankind. In these studies we have also learned that the event which caused the book with the seven seals to be open, disclosed the revelation. itself, and that, strictly speaking, the revelation of Yahshua Messiah that the Elohim gave unto him begins with chapter 6 and ends with chapter 22. 18 chapters in all. Okay. So, let's see, there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. You take 5 away from that, and that would be 17 chapters. But V.T. Hall says there's 18 chapters in all. So, okay. Let's go on. It says, we also learn that the things that were to be hereafter from the St. John's time, after 96 A.D., were those things which the event brought forth. The great assembly itself round about the throne, having met to examine the things that were inside of the book. Now I would have you note that the Revelation contains several subjects, each of which is complete in itself, although one chapter or subject may overlap or intercept the others. That is, not all the subjects and chapters are in the chronological arrangement with the one another. Now these facts shall be shown as we proceed in our study. We previously found that the judicial-like event opened with the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which the Elohim gave unto him. The book sealed with the 7 seals, it disclosed the revelation, and with its, the heavenly assembly began its work of the reviewing the past, present, and future of the mankind. We shall now read the closing verses of the chapter 6. Verse 14 to 17. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Since chapter 6 ends this story with the end of the world, it is obvious that chronologically, chapter 7 is sandwiched between the event with which chapter 6 began and the event with which it ends. For the 7th chapter begins with the sealing of the 144,000 and ends with the gathering of the great multitude touching eternity. Chapter 8, the opening of the 7th seal, begins by the introducing another subject, the subject of the 7 trumpets. For the trumpets, as we learned in our previous studies, have spread through chapter 9 to 11. We further learn that the trumpets disclose the messages of the Elohim and their consequences to the unrepentant sinners, that the trumpets begin with the first such message, the message of the Noah, and end with the last message in the probationary time, the message which announces that the mystery of the Elohim, the gospel work, is finished, that the probationary time is at an end. This is further seen from the fact that the rest of the men who were not killed by the fire, smoke, and brimstone, which came out of the horse's mouth, Revelation 9:18, repented not. Indeed, it could not be said they repented not if their time of the repentance had not passed. Thus it is that chapters 8 and 9 bring us unto the close of the probation. Chapters 10 and 11 consequently sandwiched in chapters 3 and 9. For the trumpets themselves are shown to be in the 2 divisions. 4 in the Old Testament time and 3 in the New. That is, the last 3 are woe trumpets. The first of the woe trumpets introduced the descending of the heavenly star, unto whom the key of the bottomless pit was given. Obviously, the star is symbolical of the angel who at the commencement of the millennium shut Satan into the bottomless pit, for he, the angel of Revelation 20 verse 1, is the angel who has the key of the bottomless pit. He could not possibly have the key if it had been given unto some other. Okay, chapter 10 discloses that the angel who opened and unsealed the little book is the angel who brings the spiritual rain for the developing and ripening of the spiritual rain, for that is what the cloud and the rainbow signify. He also caused the little book to be eaten, taken to the heart, which later became bitter inside the eater. For the honey sweetener, while the book was being eaten, obviously denotes that the things written therein were joyously received, but unto the eater of the book, it later caused indigestion, so to speak, and thus a disappointment. That is, the things in the book were not fully comprehended, and thus, in the end, the joy vanished away and disappointment crept in. After this, the book eaters were commissioned to prophesy again, to preach again. For this angel, in the stream of the time, therefore, appears at the unsealing of the book of the Daniel, for it is the only book of the Bible that was ever sealed and never to be opened from the time it was written unto the time of the end. For the subject of chapter 10 ends with the second verse of the chapter 11. The verse which brings us unto the time of the measuring, numbering of the people, which obviously is the numbering of the 144,000, Revelation 7, 3-8. For they are the only numbered company of the people in the thread of the prophecy. Thus it is that chapter 10, including verses 1 and 2 from the chapter 11, begins at the time of the end and ends with the numbering of the 144,000. So we're right on time. The time of the end began in 2002 at the beginning of the 12th parabolic hour. That's when the seventh seal was opened. That's when the book of the seventh seal, that's when the judgment of the living began, closing out the judgment of the dead. Okay, for the 11th chapter, save for the first two verses, which chronologically belong to the 10th chapter, go still further back in the time than does the 10th chapter. It contains the subject of the two witnesses who prophesied during the 1260 prophetic days. It too brings us forward until the end of the world, to 2002 as well. For the time that the kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of our Yahshua, or Yahweh Elohim and his son Yahshua the Messiah, Revelation 11:5. Chapter 12 takes us even further back in time than chapter 11, way beyond the birth of Yahshua, then forward unto the time that the earth opens her mouth and swallows up the flood, and unto the time of the remnant. The remnant are those who are left after the others are swallowed up by the earth. They, as a people, keep the commandment of Elohim and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. They are persecuted by the dragon immediately after the earth swallows up the flood. As yet, we know not of a people in all the world of whom inspiration can say that they as a people, all of them, actually keep the commandments of the Yahweh. For the only such group of the people that could possibly be found in a time are the 144,000. For the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, inspiration explained, is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10. To have the spirit of the prophecy is to have the spirit who uttered the prophecies and who only can interpret them. For no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, nor without the inspiration of the same spirit, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of the other hand spake as they were moved by the Yahweh Spirit, 2 Peter 1:20-21. And consequently, only holy men of the Elohim and the Spirit can interpret the Scriptures. Thus it is that chapter 12 ends its story with the remnant, the servants of the Elohim, the first fruits, the 144,000. They become the remnant after the hypocrites among them are swallowed up by the earth, so to speak. This remnant will, as a people, be keeping the commandments of the Elohim and be without the guile in their mouth. They being the first fruits, inspiration thus points out that there is to be a second fruit, for without second there can be no first. And so we see that chapter 12 brings us unto the time that the congregation is purified, the time she as a church truly keeps the commandments of the Elohim. When in the time does chapter 12 begin? Well, it begins with the day that the woman mentioned therein can conceive the man, the child, specifically speaking. Her conception of the child points back to the time inspiration promised to send the Redeemer unto the church. Okay, so it says chapter 13 begins with the dissolution of the Roman Empire and with the kings who arose from it. Who then took their crowns, as symbolized by the crown horns of the leopard-like beast? For this chapter ends with the two-horned beast decree, the decree to kill all who dare not receive the mark of the beast. Thus will the dragon be wroth at the woman, and thus will he persecute the remnant. For the 14th chapter starts with the 144,000 standing with the Lamb on the Mount of Zion. Then follow the three angels' messages in their direct and final application for the gathering of the second fruit. Thus, the chapter closes with the harvest of the earth. The chapter itself shows that the harvest is in the two sections, the first of which is reaped by the Son of Man and the second by an angel. Evidently, these two harvests yield the first and the second fruits. Okay, it says chapter 15 describes the event that bring probationary time unto an end, and chapter 16 tells of the seven last plagues. Chapter 17 begins with the rise of the Babylon, the great, and her dominion, figuratively speaking, the scarlet-colored beast. The beast she drives, rules, is her dominion. This ecclesiastical world government develops after the leopard-like beast symbolization. Chapter 13 ends its career. For the horns of the scarlet-colored beast are crownless, whereas the horns of the leopard-like are crowned. His crown horns show the world ruled by the crown kings, which already are about to pass away, and the scarlet-colored beast crownless horns show a crownless world ruled by the Babylon, who rides the beast, rules it. For this beast, says inspiration, was and is not, and yet is. That is, he lived before the 1,000 years, and therefore was, does not, the word was, it's a past tense adverb, does not live during the 1,000 years, and therefore is not. Lives by the resurrection after the millennium, and therefore is. He is the eighth, and is of the seven. Okay, he is the eighth. So Obama represents the eighth. Elijah David represents the eighth. We're in the eighth dominion, and we're in the 12th parabolic hour where this all fulfills. So he is the eighth and is of the seven. That is Daniel 4, beast of chapter 7. And John's 2 of chapter 13, total 6. The scarlet color of Revelation 17, chapter 17, okay, is therefore the seventh at the commencement of the millennium, and is the eighth after the millennium. Is of the seven because, as I said before, he is to die his first death. Okay, now, we got another correction to make here. We're in the eighth dominion right now. And Obama is on the scene. And he's, he took his seat upon that that scarlet colored beast, which represents the number 7. Okay, and so it will be number 7 until number 7 comes to her end. And number 7, I guess, comes to her end at the end of the 12th hour and goes into perdition. Let's go on with that for the moment. And in the resurrection at the millennium, he lives again for a short period before he meets his second death. And that makes him the 8th in his second phase, 7th in his first phase, chapter 17. Therefore begins with Babylon, the great mountain, the beast, his first phase, and ends on the other side of the millennium, the beast's second phase. Let's just put that on hold for a little bit, and we're going to continue on. As a result of the purification of the church, the seed of 144,000, the servants of Elohim, the earth is with the earth being lightened with the glory of the angel of Revelation 18:1, with the everlasting gospel. Okay, look at that word everlasting. Revelation 14:6. For the Elohim's people are then called out of the Babylon's domain, that they be not partakers of her sin. Revelation 18:4. So when is this call going to take place? When that 144,000 comes forward, after they are sealed. Right now we're going forward to do battle with this Obama that's riding that seventh beast and representing the number 7 right now. Okay. And so apparently, until the 144,000 come forth, we are representing the seventh church, Laodicea, the house of David. Because 144,000 represents the 8th. Okay, now look at this. Until 144,000 comes forth, and we're all, and what happens? What happens to the beast when 144,000 comes forth? He's the number 8. The 144,000 is number 8. And that beast is number 7. Okay, and so the number 8, the 144,000, brings this beast to a close. Okay, because Revelation 19:20 says, then the beast and the false prophet and those that they had deceived were taken and both cast alive into the lake of fire, this side of the millennium, here in the 12th hour. Okay, so the number 8, the 8th son, David is the 8th son, and he represents number 8 right now, and he's the one that's sitting this all up. But I come out of the number 7, the Laodicean church at Gilead Center. That's where I got my preparation at. But whenever antitypical David slays antitypical Goliath, Obama, the beast, that's when both sevens come to an end. Laodicea and the number 7 beast, scarlet colored beast in Revelation 17. Then begin the 8th, the 144,000 in charge, with the Yahshua sitting up on the throne, guiding them, with antitypical David being his general, his visible general, in charge of his great army, going forth here into all the world, conquering and the conquered. Once you get rid of that beast, then you can go and conquer all the evil nations that had given support to that beast, because they don't have no headquarters to have to get leadership from and to get direction from of how to save themselves. They're just going to be scattered everywhere, just hiding. That's the reason why this the everlasting kingdom of heaven can go forward conquering and to conquer now. There won't be no resistance then. Then are they brought into a place where there are no sins, where the remnant keep the commandments of Elohim, and where there is no fear of the plagues ever falling, Revelation 18:4. And so chapter 18 begins after the sin of the servants of the Elohim and ends with the destruction of the woman Babylon the Great. This takes place after the saints have been called out and taken home. For the 19th chapter reveals the dissolution of the beast and of the false prophet, also of the remnant of those who are left in the Babylon. The rest of the world, thus the millennium brought to view in the 20th chapter, commences after the beast and the false prophet. Also the rest of the unrepentant and world perish, and the only inhabitants that are left on the earth at the commencement of the millennium are the first and second fruits, the saints, of the earth's great harvest field, and the blessed and holy who come up in the first resurrection. Thus, it is that the Satan cannot deceive the nations during the millennium, and thus it is that the millennium is a time of the peace, but from the day that the nations are resurrected at the end of the millennium until their second death, the great rebel of the ages will again deceive them. For the dead then, who come not out of their graves in the first resurrection, chapter 20, verse 5, live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. From these, we see that where chapter 19 leaves off, chapter 20 begins. The 21st chapter pictures the earth made new and the new Jerusalem. For the 22nd chapter describes the throne of the Elohim and the river of the life, and closes with the warnings against those who in their private interpretations add and subtract in order to construct their theories. For the restriction again adding and subtracting shows that the revelation is complete as it is, that it needs not man's wisdom nor his help. If they violate this command, Elohim shall take away their part out of the book of life. To graphically and chronologically illustrate that I have tried to present unto you, I shall let you now study it at your leisure, though the end of the chart on the following page, those who may wish to study the revelation in more detail may do so from the tract and to the seven churches. The subject of the seven trumpets, however complete in every detail, you will find in tract 5, the final warning. Okay, this brings the close of our study on Time and Ingredient, Volume 2, Number 14. So now we just have a few minutes left, and we're going to take that up in a little review of what we just studied. And main thing to remember that we are in that period of time of Ezekiel 9, going through the city and marking and sealing the 144,000. Now that's something you have to understand. That's where we're at. I know I have said the time when that took place started in 2002, and technically I said it started the Passover 2003 once we were cleared from out there in Kermit. And because of a 2010, a seven-year period ending in 2010. But nevertheless, as we wait for the prophecies to open up, we're in the patient waiting time. We're still in the patient waiting time. And the 144,000, but the 144,000 timeline will get clearer and clearer as we become purified, more purified and sanctified, and made 100% holy as a body of the house of David. As we become completely restored in our bodies, mind, and spirit, then that can be a barometer for you to know exactly then that it's time for this to happen. So go to work on your health. Go to work on every day. Pray for a complete restoration of your mind, body, and spirit, because you're going to have to come to this place where it talks about there in Isaiah 33, verse 15, and let's just turn to it quickly and read it. It says that about what you abstain from. It says that he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. So you want to be on the safe side? Well, then every day read Isaiah 33, verse 15 and 16. Just read the whole 33rd chapter of Isaiah. And this will give you a refresher every day to keep you in line. And keep you ever ready to receive Yahweh's seal of his mark of his seal and approval when it comes time for you to be bound up with his saints. And so there's our safety. There lies our safety. In Isaiah 57, it says in verse 14, it says, and 15, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Well, as I said before, Sister White prophesied that in her testimony, she said that Yahweh will remove every stumbling block so that he can have a pure and holy people to declare his statutes and judgment. That's, I believe, in Volume 1, page 333. Okay, Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So Yahweh says, announced to me that I must start this revival reformation, start publishing it, because this is what we're going to have to bring forth these here, the revive the heart of the contrite ones. We're going to have this revival reformation. And so that he can empower his great army then to conquer the beast. So we're going to close that, our service now with Daniel chapter 7. Now we're going to read Daniel chapter 7, and let's read 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, in other words, sit up, and the Ancient of Days did sit, which is Yahweh the Father. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fire stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judge was set, and the books were open. And then it says in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came unto the Ancient of Days as his father, and they brought him near before him. That was in 1844. And there was given him a dominion and glory. What dominion? The eighth dominion, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now in verse 22, verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of the Days came, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom, and that's when the 144,000 comes forth now. And what's the reason for them to possess the kingdom? Verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it until the end. And the kingdom, verse 27, and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom out of the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations much troubled me, and my account has changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. We're going to keep the matter in our heart today also. We're going to close this service now with a song entitled, Dare to Be a Daniel. Standing by a purpose true, heeding Yah's command, honor them the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for Yah had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dared to be a Daniel, dared to stand alone, good to have a purpose for her, good to make it known. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dared to be a Daniel, dared to stand alone, dared to have a purpose for her, dared to make it known. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose for her, dare to make it known.